and the names.
Are you dead now?
No. Alive. Alive. Only once. I was a dragon. I'm not dead. I sleep sometimes. Sleep comes very close to death, everyone knows that. The dead walk in dreams. Everyone knows that. They come to you alive, and they say things. They walk out of death into the dreams. There's a way. And if you go on far enough, there's a way back all the way. All the way. You can find it if you know where to look. And if you're willing to pay the price.
What price is that? Sparrowhawk's voice floated on the dim air like the shadow of a falling leaf.
Life. What else? What can you buy life with but life?
Hair rocked back and forth on his palate, a cunning, uncanny brightness in his eyes.
You see, he said, they can cut off my hand. They can cut off my head. It doesn't matter. I can find the way back. I know where to look. Only men of power can go there.
Wizards, you mean?
Yes.
Hare hesitated, seeming to attempt the word several times. He could not say it.
Men of power, he repeated.
And they must. And they must give it up. Pay. Then he fell sullen, as if the word pay had at last roused associations, and he had realized that he was giving information away instead of selling it. Nothing more could be got from him, not even the hints and stammers about a way back, which Sparrowhawk seemed to find meaningful, and soon enough the mage stood up.
Well, half answers beat no answers, he said, and the same with payment.
And, deft as a conjurer, he flipped a gold piece onto the pallet in front of Hare. Hare picked it up. He looked at it and Sparrowhawk and Arryn with jerky movements of his head.
Wait, he stammered.
As soon as the situation changed, he lost his grip of it and now groped miserably after what he wanted to say.
Tonight, he said at last. Wait. Tonight. I have Hazia.
I don't need it.
To show you. To show you the way. Tonight. I'll take you. I'll show you.
You can get there. Because you... You're... He groped for the word until Sparrowhawk said, I am a wizard.
Yes. So we can get there. To the way. When I dream. In the dream. See? I'll take you. You'll go with me to the way.
Sparrowhawk stood, solid and pondering, in the middle of the dim room. Maybe, he said at last. If we come, we'll be here by dark. Then he turned to Arryn, who opened the door at once, eager to be gone. The dank, overshadowed street seemed bright as a garden after Hare's room. They struck out for the upper city by the shortest way, a steep stairway of stone between ivy-grown house walls. Arryn breathed in and out like a sea lion.
Ugh! Are you going back there?
Well, I will if I can't get the same information from a less risky source. He is likely to set an ambush for us.
But aren't you defended against thieves and so on?
Defended? Said Sparrowhawk.
What do you mean?
Do you think I go about wrapped up in spells like an old woman afraid of the rheumatism? I haven't the time for it. I hide my face to hide our quest. That's all. We can look out for each other. But the fact is, we are not going to be able to keep out of danger on this journey. Of course not, Aaron said stiffly, angry, angered in his pride. I did not seek to do so. That's just as well, the mage said, inflexible, and yet with a kind of good humor that appeased Aaron's temper. Indeed, he was startled by his own anger. He had never thought to speak thus to the Archmage. But then, this was and was not the Archmage. This hawk with the snubbed nose and square, ill-shaven cheeks, whose voice was sometimes one man's voice and sometimes another's. A stranger. Unreliable. Does it make sense, what he told you? Aaron asked, for he did not look forward to going back to that dim room above the stinking river. All that fiddle-faddle about being alive and dead, and coming back with his head cut off. I don't know if it makes sense. I wanted to talk with a wizard who had lost his power. He says that he hasn't lost it, but given it. Traded it. For what? Life for life, he said. Power for power. No, I don't understand him, but he is worth listening to. Sparrowhawk's steady reasonableness shamed Aaron further. He felt himself petulant and nervous, like a child. Hair had fascinated him, but now that the fascination was broken, he felt a sick disgust, as if he had eaten something vile. He resolved not to speak again until he had controlled his temper. Next moment, he missed his step on the worn, slick stairs, slipped, recovered himself, scraping his hands on the stones. Oh, curse this filthy town, he broke out in rage. And the mage replied dryly, no need to, I think.